It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, in the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomswithanSphoenix.com. Now, we got an email yesterday from the daughter of the gentleman in Yemen. She's the attorney that wrote one of the articles that we did, and she, you know, apologized for bad connections there in Yemen, yada, 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 and I don't think either of us will be able to do a subsequent interview with the show due to our, you know, access to phones and everything for a while, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for your interest. I listened to the segment that you sent earlier, and it occurred to me that your team may not know of recent developments since the publication of my article. In case you wish to revisit the subject, please note that the president and several top officials of the Yemeni government were injured in a bomb that was planted in the mosque in the presidential palace. The president left Yemen on Saturday for Saudi Arabia for surgery. Now, the thing was that now it's, you know, he went for surgery, and now they're worried about, you know, is he going to come back or not? So Yemen is in, and it's interesting that he would go to Saudi Arabia. The United States has supported the people after their experience with Egypt, came on the side of the people. And I don't think this Yemeni guy is going to make it. So they go ahead and they side with them, and now will they side with the people in Saudi Arabia? This is not stopping, and it's not just Arab Spring, European summer, America winter, all right? Now, this is what's going on in Greece right now. This represents Europe, you know, the European Union and the Euro and, you know, whatever. While the European, now this is from 4xcrunch.com. It's a, you know, economic site some of the guys go to and post with. Greeks grab their money from the banks. Time is running out. While the European Union is dragging its legs regarding the sustainable solution for Greece, the Greeks are on the move, withdrawing large sums of money from the banks before they won't be able to, taking to the streets and begin talking about, wait for it, a revolution. This is, what, you thought I was kidding? Spanish-style protests. Up to now, Greeks were occasionally going for a protest against austerity measures. In too many cases, it turned violent and ended quite quickly. Things are different now. Inspired by the Spaniards, the Greeks, now the difference in the Spaniards' economy, Greece, Portugal is probably four or five times bigger than Greece. And then it's like, you know, 10 times bigger than that is Spain. I mean, it's just, you know, Spain represents such an enormously larger chunk of debt. It is, you know, if you got to start having problems in Spain, you know, France, Germany, they're starting to cough up blood. You know what I mean? Spanish-style protests. Up to now, you know, the Greeks have been kind of getting all ornery, and they put out the tear gas and kick them out and done, and they're, you know, being... I think it's kind of orchestrated because it's the unions, it's the government themselves. Hey, you're cutting our pay. They're, you know, it's the government employee types. It's not really the people. And I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there, but you know, I mean, it's not really hitting a general uproar where they fill the streets with millions of people like what's going on in the Middle East. Here we go. The Greeks have changed the style. Since Sunday, May 22nd, they protest peacefully in front of the parliament building at Syntagma Square in Athens. They blame the government and the banks for corruption and keep up the pressure. This is much more efficient. A general strike is planned for Saturday, June 4th, this last Saturday. Talking about revolution, German paper Bild reports, that some of the protesters are talking about a revolution. They don't have hope in the current ruling party, nor the opposition, nor the European Union. A third of Greeks already support a revolution. I guess they're not counting on the other party to come save them. Know what I mean? It's left jackboot, right jackboot on your throat party. You know, they see it, and the rest of the world is seeing it. Are you seeing it? Maybe not. Well, you're going to, whether you want to or not. Getting ready for default. Some aren't just protesting, but acting to protect themselves from a default. Greek banks hold a lot of government bonds. Greek citizens fear that the banks will freeze and begin getting cash. 1.5 billion euros were withdrawn in just 2 days. This accelerated with the protests. Now, if they freeze the banks, they won't be able to get their cash. So they're getting the cash now. This is what you have to worry about. It's called a bank holiday. And bank holidays, you know, they may do it on a Friday and try and open up by Monday, or hold off a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever. But it'll be just long enough for you to beg to please let me have access to my goodies. And they'll go, sure, but we changed it. It's not dollars anymore. It's the worldo. Everybody's all worried about, oh, the Amero. They're coming to North American Amero. Like if that was their goal. I'm going, wait. That's just a distraction. They just need to get our economies here in the Western Hemisphere, Mexico, U.S., Canada, kind of on the same plantation. You know, it's just that's so they can get a, you know, Amero currency. It's so they can put us all on the worldo. This has always been about the worldo. Heck, the, you know, U.S. dollar is practically a worldo. But when that goes away, which may be the intention, it seems like they're doing it on purpose, don't it? Yep, what happens? Now we're going to fix it. Don't think, man, it's all good. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a basket of currencies that's managed by some central plan, de la whatever, and it's a lot better now, and it's all good. And if you want to get anything out of anything, that's where you go. So better start thinking about how you're going to barter and trade and something else. You know, I suggest silver. You get the junk silver thing. That works good. And what do the leaders do over the weekend? Denial that Greek targets missed. A report in Germany said that the conclusion is clear. Greece missed its obligations. This comes as no surprise, but the officials kept on dragging their legs. This was, of course, denied quickly. But for how long can they get away with that? No money for you! Jan Kees de Jager, the Dutch finance minister, made it very clear that Greece will get no money if it doesn't fulfill its obligations. Trust in Greece is very low. And what are these obligations? Well, they agreed they're going to cut and slash and do and this and that and whatever, and they don't. You know, and they'll keep giving them money, or you'll do what we had from, we were talking, was it yesterday or day before, where the European Central Bank guy is saying we need enforcement abilities. We need, like, you know, kind of like here, like the Department of Education having a SWAT team. We need them to be able to come in and, you know, give them what for. You know, so they're looking for some kind of enforcement authority. Wow. Working on another bailout. The Financial Times reports a new and severe program for Greece, including international intervention in tax collection and mass privatization of Greek assets is discussed. They'll take all their retirement and pension funds and their 401k equivalents and their municipal munis and blah, 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 and put them all in under Goldman Sachs. And we'll manage it for you because you can trust us. Okay? The ECB, which is the European whatever the heck, continues opposing any sort of Greek restructuring. EU finance ministers meet on June 20th. Now, the ECB is probably a European Central Bank, and that's where this guy, you know, is saying we don't want any restructuring of the debt because we got them over a barrel. We can get to where all their assets now become centrally controlled under our. That's what we wanted anyway. And as other countries start to go into bigger problems, they'll just keep adding to the list. Sarkozy, French president, supports restructuring. The French president surprised and changed his attitude towards restructuring, saying that bondholders should share the pain. Oh, Christine Lagarde, the one that wants to be head of the IMF, said, no, heck no. We want to make sure all our bank buddies get full coverage. You see where this is going? And it's coming here.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yourself, man. I vote that one. Your family, your loved ones, your kids, your grandkids, your community, you know, however big your heart is and you want, and you can, capable and able. And, you know, I know there's a lot of good people out there. You know, they did it for me when I was young. My wife and I from 88, we're in our late 20s, just had our fourth child. We're coming up. A lot of people encouraged us, you know, slip you $100, $200, $50, $10 here every now and then. That, Satan, you know, people have, we're, you know, a lot of my atheist friends, they'll go, you know, Ernie, crazy religious wacko, you know, just because I'm a man of faith, I have a, you know, a wider radar screen, you know, yeah, I think, but you can never be Christian enough, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, Christian, well, do you prescribe to the, you know, all these little checkoff boxes you got? I mean, you can never be enough, but, you know, me and God, we got going on, man, we're good. So the thing is, it's mine. It's, my relationship is mine. In my head, mine, I claim mine. Yeah, you say it's not good enough. Well, how do you know? And the heck with y'all, man. It's, you know, me, mine, I'm good. So in that kind of being a person of faith, it's amazing how it's been reinforced over the years to where at the time that it would have been, we couldn't have made a bill. We would, you know, children starving, no gas on, whatever, over 25 years, that it's just amazing how that $150 contract, that $100, that $200 had made an enormous difference in us to continue to be able to do what we're doing and just survive, because we were activists and we really had, some would say, too much of an emphasis on, you know, just learning the truth. But we've come across a lot of people that remind Don and I of us then, that have, because once you get the bug, and the first thing we tell people, you got to pace yourself. This is a long, drawn out thing. When late 80s, I told my wife, look, I need a decade. I mean, we need to kind of focus on this, but I mean, it's going to, you know, envelop us. We got to pace ourselves. So we were able to accomplish it. One of the things was I did not want my children to suffer and be in public school. So they had a program called the Arizona School Choice Trust that was done by some good Quaker friends of mine that were Republicans, but they were really libertarian, kind of Ron Paul types. And what they did is they created an organization to where people would contribute tax, you know, deferred or free, whatever, 501c, what you call it, and you give the money, and it would go directly to people that were qualified for the school lunch program. If you were poor enough that your kid qualified, not take it, but just use that qualification as some arbitrary because, you know, whatever. We just use it. If you're this poor, based on the government, use the standard, we'll use theirs. What the heck? But you didn't qualify. I mean, you qualified or would have, but you didn't take it. You're just, this is how poor I am. Okay. We're going to give you 50 up to 75% of the private tuition, for you still got to come up with 25 to 50% of it, but we're going to subsidize your private education. So you raise money from friends and grandparents and you save and the kids do whatever and so on, and you accumulate the money so that you can go, and then they subsidize it. The money they raised separately paid for the administration and the cost and all that. That was a separate fundraising. So they had this one, 100% of it goes to the kids, this one, you know, for administration and so on. It still is going, started in the mid-90s. So this is what, 15 plus years, you know, 20, long time. So God, I think they had their, no, that was a 10-year anniversary. I remember that. We participated in that. And my family, you know, we participated. We were one of the first children, and that was a deal that we made. I'm not going to have my children suffer. Look, we've got this program. We're going to put them in, take care of your kids. We'll get private education done. You just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, we still had to come up with, I mean, it wasn't free, you know, but, you know, we qualify. We have friends, and you know, we're good. So the thing is that we're paying it forward. When we see people that are working hard, they're doing their part. They're not lying to the people. They're sharing the truth of things. They're being very creative in a lot of different things. And you recognize a lot of, nationally they're recognized, but you don't know that they live in a small little apartment, you know, and most of their money goes to a high-speed internet connection. You know, they spend all their money on camera equipment or computers or whatever to be able to have this impact. Will they ever recuperate their investment and all that? Probably. In freedom, in peace of mind, in sleeping well. You know, and all they need to keep their bills paid is all of a sudden I need an extra, you know, $50 to buy this gizmo because I'm not going to be able to afford to get it because I got to keep my electric bill paid. You know, there's $50. Here's an opportunity. Here's an ad on Freedom's Phoenix or in the magazine or whatever to help promote your goodies because I like what you're doing because I can. What are you doing? You know, there's not one single person out there that you're glad is doing something that you can support, that you can help. Heck, I can't even keep track of the people we try and help, you know, just by having them, you know, share what they're doing. We provide that platform. There's a lot of these, and we'll go over them. That's what the July issue of the digital magazine is all about, is all of these people that are actually doing stuff, you know. And then, of course, I'm going to say, you know, subscribe to the magazine, you know, give me a little some. But, you know, big focus is going to be look at all these people. Pick one you like. Heck, you know, send them $5, PayPal, push the button, boom, done. Send them a little dime card, you know, to send them a little something, you know, because they're out there busting their butt for years. You know, I'll give you one. There's one group of people, I'm not going to, you know, give out their names and everything yet so we can push them later, but they did this thing. Their initials are John Bush and Catherine Bleich. Oops. Anyway, they have a thing. It was called the Defuse Project, you know, the fusion centers that they have, these multi-jurisdictional task force kind of headquarter things that were going, we've been fighting this as young activists since the early 90s. And now they, with Homeland Security, they just moved that bad boy in. They're not even making, you know, it's not even in a desk in the corner of some sheriff's department anymore. Heck, they got their own building. You know, so I'm going, yeah, okay, here we go. They went around the country on their own dime, going around interviewing in each city anybody they could associated with these things. When it came to Phoenix, yeah, we hooked them up with an interview, the Fusion Center people. Heck, I was, I don't know, out of state somewhere or something, but we knew who to call. So they got, you know, doing interviews. Yep, this is what we do. Yep. We think that you're doing, yeah, we are. Yep, people want us to. And you're combining all these, yep. SB 1070 took all the people's information, got yep. Uh-huh. That's exactly what we're doing. So do the people care? Nah, whatever. But they get it documented. This is stuff you need to know. Do you support this? Did you want anybody to even document it? Then you have movies being done, like Gary Franchi, Alex Jones. All these guys are doing some kind of movie. I got one right here. Just sent to me. They want me to do a review. William Lewis film. He does... you know, a lot of the stuff with Gary Franchi's is called Blood of Patriots, okay? I have no idea what it is. I'm sure it's, good, bad, freedom good, bad. You know, so we'll go ahead and look and see how bad they are and what they do, and, of course, what's their, you know, solution. They're talking about freedom of speech, religion, press, assembly, state sovereignty, militias, gun ownership, privacy, due process, double jeopardy, fair trial, public trial, jury trial, grand jury trial, legal counsel, confront witnesses, individual rights is what this is about, and we'll see what's their solution. I don't know. Maybe I don't like it. But we're going to find out, and we'll talk about it. But I tell you know, there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of things, and we'll talk about some of them when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit with me, Ernest Hancock.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
A long, long time ago, we used to get our food homegrown, and toothpaste used to make you smile. It used to be you'd shop with ease, never eating antifreeze. You plan to keep on living quite a while. But now our goods are all delivered from somewhere on the Yangtze River. No one knows the source there, so you might find some horsehair. But if corporations make a buck, they don't give a flying Peking duck. And with this system we get stuck today, it makes you sigh. Now when you abide by an American pie, your grandma didn't bake it, it was made in Shanghai, where they engineered the apples to be juicy, not dry. But the crust is made of cardboard and lye. Don't feed it to your dog, he might die. Now did you eat a tasty cake, and did it make your stomach ache? I could have said I told you so. And the reason you are looking wan is some guy took bribes in Szechuan, so you just bit into little Debbie's toe. And now the toys you bought from Fisher Price have toxins deemed unsafe for mice, and Elmo tends to wheeze, 'cause he's laced with PCBs. But all my problems seem so far when I see my cheap new DVR. I'll even brush my teeth with tar, and you will see that I'll buy from some young guy. I drive a Chevy and it's heavy, but the price is too high. Soon $20 will buy a car from Shanghai. And honey, that'll be the day we all die.
Yeah, that's coming. So maybe we're coughing a little bit. This is, there is a, you know, I've been meaning to play it, and I'll get it probably in the next segment. There was a song sent to me, and I played it a couple of times, and I it's been quite a while, and it was I Want to Be a Pirate. And it was just kind of, you know, just a, but, you know, humor is, dark humor especially, is a way that we cope. I mean, we use humor to cope with a lot of the injustices in our lives. But when it really causes us physical pain, that knowledge, that understanding, the humor comes into it, kind of builds up into something else. And I don't know what it needs to be, has to be, should be. I know generally what it always winds up being, you know, it's riots. It's just people just no. So what is it that we should get from this? I don't know how we're going to cope with the coming riots in the streets that will come to America, because they are coming. And I don't know how big they'll be. I don't know what'll be the manifestation of it. I don't understand what'll be the way that we see it. Excuse me a second. Sierra, can you come put this DVD in this computer over here so I can play it for the folks here and get the video out of it? I don't want to just do the audio, because that give you the full impact of it. So we'll go ahead and put it up for the video crowd. What we're going to do is try over the next months in this summer and going into the next year, because a lot of people that are regulars to the show know that we moved from our studios that we had downtown Phoenix, and we combined my home and the studio, and we found a little 2-acre kind of little farm up in northwest Phoenix, part of an old part called the Sunburst Farms. Gets irrigation. I got horses all around me and goats and everything but pigs. No pigs, but everything else. Chickens, goats, horses, cows, sheep, man, it's all good. And even though it's in Phoenix, it has a very rural taste to it, because you're in a bunch of little 2-acre things. So what we did is we said, you know, we're going to learn. We're going to learn how to grow. We tried with a few chickens and saw that was much easier than I thought it was going to be, and much healthier, and I feel a lot better. And we did a garden. We started growing, you know, carrots and the greens for juicing, and had to go get the Granny Smith apples, but, you know, we'll survive. So we go get them organic and everything, and we start, you know, living healthier. In the last year and a half or so, I feel a lot better. I mean, just a lot better. A lot better. I mean, I may show up with cancer next week because they want me to, but I feel probably at 50 in my 30s. I mean, I was really starting to feel kind of cloggy. You know, I was going to the gym on probably more regular basis than I am now, but it was because I had to. I needed to just flush out the stuff. I just, you know, now if I can do that too, then I'd be really styling. So we do a little bit of the P90X thing here. My wife does, and I join in every now and then. Now, the thing is that we have really taken seriously the year of getting ready. We moved in here, it was February, and we decided that by end of February, we just rented this place. We rented the home. It was very inexpensive. You get a lot of things. We saved about 20% on our overhead from our home and the workshop. And we have a big, you know, 2 acres. We have a barn, a garage. It has a workshop in it. We got our printing presses. We got silk screening. We have the DVD duplicator. We have the studio. We have it. We have everything all set up the way we had it before, you know, or at least the capacity. It was, of course, not the same configuration, but we got all this stuff taken care of so that we could replicate what we've done in the past and start getting smaller. We just had delivered day before yesterday one of these document scanners. You buy it, it's a few hundred dollars, and it comes all the software and the stuff. And every piece of paper you have, you just dock it in it, and it reads the text, and it files it for you, and it puts it in whatever category you want, and so on. We separated all of our activism that we've done over the past almost 20 years, and we keep, you know, certain important documents or printings of things that we thought were important, or printouts of different lawsuits and the Word files of whatever it was back then, and, you know, what was it, Word Perfect, blah, blah, blah. And we have all these different pieces of information that we've done, websites, lawsuits, activism, bumper stickers, everything that we've done, artwork, and we put them off into these plastic Rubbermaid boxes all these years that we've been moving around with us. So now we're taking all those and we're digitizing it so that we can throw it away. We get a sea container. We start getting all the stuff we got to have. You know what? I think... You know, I got it all loaded up now. I probably don't need any more ammo and stuff and guns and everything, so we can take my reloading equipment and make it available to whoever needs it. I have a lot of friends. They want to reload stuff. We go out in desert shooting, whatever, go up to, you know, Ben Avery, which is a shooting range. Municipal, by the way. You know, the Arizona Game and Fish has one of the nicest shooting ranges ever here. But it started from a private hands, got passed on, long story. But what happens is, you know, we load up all our goodies, and that's not the kind of, you know, doomsday stuff you want to be having around and depend on that, because sometimes they misfire, you know. But the thing is that, you know, we have the reloader. A lot of people want to do their own stuff. But I'm pretty much good on that, so we can just put it in storage. So I put that in the sea container. You know, then we have a donated to us a little RV. It's one of these little 20-foot deals. And so we're going to go, okay, you know, we kind of make that into mobile. We're painting it up and logoing it with Freedom's Phoenix, and we'll go around cover different things and doing, we'll have some fun with that. Then we have, so we can get mobile, because we have the mobile capacity from anywhere we can be with our internet cards and our phone cards that plug into our, it's called a, Comrex. It's called Comrex Access, which allows us to do the show just like this. Sounds just like this, but anywhere. Out in the field, on the corners. We do the Black Man with the AR-15 on the corner live. You know, that's how we did it. So we're taking this year to get ready, to get small. How many 9/16 open and box in wrenches do I need, man? I get them in a pile and distribute them amongst my kids and my in-laws. And we're just starting to get small so we can get ready. For what? I don't know. But I'll be more ready than you. And I'm trying to encourage others. Because things are going to get interesting. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder what's a guy on Main Street to do. I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please. When I need some money, I know just what I'll do. I'll take it from those same slick boys who stole it from me and you. And then I'll make them walk the plank. My factory job after 15 years of working for the man. said someone in China can do it better than I can. So I got more education, thought I'd have some security. But now I've been laid off, another victim of this bad economy. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas, yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what I please. When I need some money, I know just what I'll do. I'll take it from those same slick boys who stole it from me and you. And then I'll make them walk the plank. So while the bankers, brokers, and politicians party on like nothing's wrong, the rest of us down here are trying our best just to carry on. And our homes, they're worth less today than they've ever been. Forget about retirement, we'll all be working till we're old men. But in the end, I just can't do it. Can't live out my fantasy. So now I'm flipping burgers. And my boss, well, he's just 18. And still, I'd rather be a pirate. Oh, I wish I were a pirate. Guess I'm just too damn scared to be a pirate. Hey, you want some fries with that?
Yeah. MakeThemWalkThePlank.com. You know, I get a lot of this kind of stuff sent me, and it's, you know, a lot of it is not as creative, done as well, or really emphasizes the mood that I think is coming. And there's going to be a point to where they're not going to be afraid to be a pirate. They're not going to have a choice. What I want to do is to try and get to where they direct their efforts and their what they're motivated to do in a peaceful, creative, libertarian way. Non-initiation of force. Now keep in mind, the non-initiation does not mean you don't get to be defensive. But when do you do that? What have we learned today? What do we have? Your estranged wife has bills that she owes on her student loan, and 15, says Stockton, California. Kenneth Wright does, now this is from marketticker.org. Now, this is amazing how this is hitting economic blogs and such all over the internet. I get this from all kinds of different people. You got to put this up. It's hit, yeah, I'm sure it's on Drudge. It goes, boom, here it goes. Because it represents something else. Kenneth Wright does not have a criminal record, and he had no reason to believe a SWAT team would be breaking down his door at 6 a.m. on Tuesday. I look out my window, and I see 15 police officers. Okay. Now, I'm looking forward to finding out what other reasoning they had for this particular one and why, and it doesn't even matter. SWAT team for Department of Education? Hey, admit it. Yeah, well, you know, we needed to have one Stockton police car there to give it legitimacy, I guess. I want to know what's on their badges. Do they even have them? You know, that was one of the things that here in America, badge number, police, your name, who are you? Why am I stopping for you? Now people are suggested on the lone prairie at night in the middle of the, you know, the highway, and all of a sudden you see the little cherry lights going off and everything. You know, some young women, they're predisposed to find a well-lit, populated parking lot somewhere or something. Just pulling off on the side of the road out in the middle of the nothing, not necessarily, but what if you don't? You know, they ram you? So this is the respect for government enforcement. You know, for the shiny badge, for the guy with the gun, it starts to degrade. It goes down to the point that, and we've made this when we meet with the officers. We talk with them on various things, and we do different activities and such, and they understand our perspective. And we make it very clear to the public, just Google Ernest Hancock CNN and you watch that, you'll get it. Our point that we're making is we're saying, look, you need us on your side. If you do not have the people on your side, it's going to get very uncomfortable for law enforcement. And they should be peace officers anyway. This is something that it's inevitable what's coming. I could see the goose step from 20 years ago. I knew we were going to get to where we're going right now. What I am hoping to do in preparation for that is that we all maintain and enhance our humanity, even in the face of overwhelming diversity, of all the tyranny coming at us, from every angle, this diversity of it's just like having arrows block out the sun. You got to learn to fight in the shade. It's just as they come, you just got to shield yourself. You got to be able to survive it. You got to, because you only got so many arrows. You want to make sure that they don't hit you, that you're protected somehow. And the best way is to know that there's freaking arrows coming. I mean, heck, that's the first thing. You can figure out how big and with what velocity and how heavy and from what direction and all that. Heck, the first thing you got to know is that they're coming. So that's what we're trying to do, is so that you can maintain your humanity. You don't have to become a bootlicker. You don't have to be that you have to be subservient in order to survive, that they don't threaten you with the liberty and the lives of loved ones, that they don't put you in a situation to where you can't maintain yourself by even eating. Then if you can put yourself in that position, then you got options. Maybe you can just wait it out. Maybe you can just encourage people to not get caught in this matrix, in this web, and just survive. But what happens when they just come kicking in your door for any reason they just think of? To make an example out of you. From at freaking blindsided. They're going to start doing the same thing they did for you owe your student loan for, damn it, boy, we said you was in foreclosure. We have 25% of the U.S. at least that have a mortgage. Their home is worth less than what they owe on it. That's a lot. 25%. So what do people do? They know it's a double dip. It's going back down again. And we've been screaming that on this show. I go, I don't care what they say. I know the inventory. I know the shadow inventory. I know what they haven't foreclosed on. I know how much inventory the banks have sitting there. They're not even putting on the market. They'll say short sale. It takes months to do it. Why? Because they can only liquidate so much a quarter, and still try to show that they're solvent in some way, waiting for their next bailout. Here comes QE2. I mean, 3. Hell, 14. So I'm going, this is, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to steel our mind against, the begging of more tyranny for our own short-term personal gain. You got to cut your losses at some point. Now, that what they did is they also passed legislation making where you could not declare bankruptcy and alleviate yourself of your student loans. They did that. Now they're doing SWAT teams on your home. You didn't think that this wasn't connected, right? It's all force and threat of force. So now you can expect we can wipe that clean. We can wipe your debt clean. All you got to do is, do some service for the man. Yeah, for your neighbors. Because you love it. We'll wipe it out. That's going to come. There's going to be a big package of this. And $1 trillion over a decade. We're going to cut the budget, the deficit. $1 trillion of debt. We're going to cut $1 trillion. And we'll start next year. Now vote for the debt ceiling increase. Sound familiar? Are the American people really buying into this? Doesn't matter. They're going to do it anyway. Until the dollar goes away. And then all bets are off. You don't think so? Look at the history where it's happened in every other country. It gets bad. Survive. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved. Tour.